What did you do during lockdown? As well as baking more bread and perfecting our Zoom meeting skills, one thing that we did here was to look at our habits and see how we could make them a little bit more sustainable. Welcome to the Homesteading Roller Coaster. My name is Ilaria, and in this podcast, I share my family's adventures on Tatum Hills Farm, our property on Ngunnawal Country, just outside of Canberra, Australia. We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise the continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present and emerging. In this podcast, we discuss anything to do with farm life, homesteading, sustainable living, growing your own, and much more. So let's get started. While the pandemic has been terrible for so many people around the world and really a huge tragedy, has also done a couple of things that I think have been helpful. One, hopefully it has opened more people's eyes to the fact that we really need to do better. Everybody's talking about going back to business as usual. Well, that brought us to the pandemic. And before that, here in Australia, brought us to devastating bushfires. So really, business as usual is not really working for us. The other thing that the pandemic has done for a lot of people is giving us more time at home, because so many of us have been or still are in lockdown. So we've had more time on our hands than we've ever had. And different people have been doing different things with that time. One thing that I have been doing has been to look around our home and try to come up with ways to be a little bit more sustainable. And my focus was also to try and look for ways of being more sustainable that I could continue after things reopened and life resumed. So I started going through my house room by room and looking around at what I was using, what I was doing, and what I could possibly change. So I thought I'd just share that with you, because hopefully a few things that we've done can inspire somebody else, or you might have some better ideas, and I would love to hear them. As you know, we're on Instagram and Facebook. You can find us at Tatum Hills Farm, T-A-T-U-M Hills Farm. And please come and join us there and give us any tips if you have them, or ask any questions, or we always love to have a chat there. So the first room I started in was the kitchen. I guess we spend a lot of time in the kitchen, so that seemed like a logical starting point. We obviously cook in the kitchen and we produce food waste. The food waste that we produce, we compost. So tick there, that was something we were already doing. If you're not composting, I would totally recommend you look into starting. We do have a whole episode on composting on this podcast. So please go back and listen to that one, and that will hopefully give you some ideas. It is important, even if you're in an apartment, because if you're sending your food scraps to landfill, they will not compost. The conditions are not right over there, and your food scraps will produce methane, which is a powerful greenhouse gas. So it is really worth your effort to try to keep your food waste out of landfill. But for us, composting was a tick. So at least there we were doing fine. Another area where we were doing all right was washing our hands. We wash our hands both in the kitchen and in the bathroom. So for both of those, and of course during the pandemic, we washed our hands a whole heap more. As you may know, I make and sell soap. So using bar soap was just something we were already doing. If you're not familiar with making soap, I also do have a podcast episode about that. But just generally switching your liquid soap that usually comes in a bottle for a bar of soap is a much preferable alternative, because usually the bar of soap will last longer and will also come with a lot less packaging. So you might want to consider that change, and you might also want to consider finding a local soap maker, maybe one that doesn't include much packaging in their products. Or you might want to look for a workshop, we run workshops, or some videos to learn how to make your own soap if you're so inclined. If you are totally keen on your liquid soap, perhaps you can buy in bigger bottles, buy more in bulk, and there will be less plastic for the amount of soap that you buy. So that could be just a really a small change that you can make. Still use the same product you're using now, but just buy in a bigger bottle. That would also contribute to a slightly smaller footprint. The other thing that we weren't doing though was using soap, bar soap, for washing dishes. Now, I'll admit I don't wash many dishes by hand. I really hate doing that. But I was using a liquid soap for that. So I have now formulated a special bar soap to wash my dishes with. So that's something you might want to look into, using a bar soap for your dishes. And to apply the soap to your dishes, you might want to look into a natural brush. That is something else that we weren't doing. I was just using plastic scourers, and they did actually work really well, but they were made of plastic and they ended up in landfill at the end of the day. So I tried making my own scourers with some fabric scraps that I had lying around because I sew, so that seemed like the obvious thing to do. They didn't work really well. I mean, they worked, but they didn't last very long. They just kind of went all moldy and disgusting pretty quickly because they were so thick that I just couldn't get the water out and they would never be fully dry. So failed experiment there. I could have tried to perfect the design, but really what I ended up doing was buying a natural brush. It's made of metal and natural bristles and a wooden handle. And I'm not super in love with it, but I'm learning to like it. I still prefer the feeling of a sponge that I can hold in my hand, but I think my problem is not so much the natural brush versus the sponge, it's that my brush has got a handle and then it's got a round head. I think if I just bought one of those natural brushes where you hold the back of the brush and there's bristles all along the other side, I think I would prefer that. So that would be my next purchase once my current one falls apart. Although I must say it is holding together very well for the moment. So that has been an improvement. No longer do I use plastic to clean my dishes. I used to also use paper towel to clean my surfaces. And not always, I must say. I did have some reusable cloths, but I did have quite a bit of paper towel going around. So I'll admit I have kept the paper towel and I still occasionally use it. I have 5 cats, 1 dog, and 2 kids in the house. And sometimes what comes out of those little bodies is not worth seeing again. So it does get picked up with a paper towel. However, I do try to compost the resulting messes as opposed to throwing the paper towel in the bin. So that's an improvement. But for the most part, I have cut up some thick cotton cloth and that I just had, and I've been using that, and I keep rewashing them and reusing them, and I'm really proud of that, especially because most of the time I have been mortally overwhelmed by my washing pile. But another thing that I've tried to do during lockdown was to get on top of it and get a system happening to try and not be completely overwhelmed by my washing pile. The trick, believe it or not, is to a load every day. I know it's not a new piece of information, but I finally tried it and it works. So because I'm no longer overwhelmed by my washing pile, I don't feel so bad about producing more washing for myself by using cloth in the kitchen. So that's worked well for me. I do think if you are completely overwhelmed by your washing pile, like many people are, maybe get on top of that before you start adding extra to it by using cloth in the kitchen. Just a thought, but see how you go. The other thing that I've tried, and I'm pretty happy with where I've landed, is a homemade dishwashing powder. And that is because I run the dishwasher, like I said, quite a lot. And so I do use a lot of washing powder, and I just didn't like the fact that the one we were using, even though it was supposed to be fairly eco-friendly, it just had a lot of weird stuff in it, and it came in a plastic container. So now I make my own, and I make it out of just three ingredients, which I buy in bulk. So even though they do come in plastic containers, they come in much bigger plastic tubs that I can then reuse around the house and the farm. So that's not so bad. And the three ingredients are washing soda, baking soda, and citric acid. So I put two parts of washing soda to one part of baking soda to half a part of citric acid. Mix them all together, keep them in a tub under the sink, one of those tubs that the ingredients originally came in, and put it in the dishwasher as I need it, and it seems to be doing a reasonable job. So I'm quite happy with that. Another change has been to no longer use plastic bin liners. Now, I'm kind of cheating on that one, to be honest, in the sense that I'm still lining my bins with plastic. So I now have four bins because I've also improved my recycling, but I'll tell you about that in a moment. So I have two bins that need lining, my rubbish bin and my main recycling bin. The rubbish bin I line with reused plastic bags that I receive from people who are giving me their kitchen scraps to feed to my chickens and to my compost. So I have a bunch of neighbors who give me their kitchen scraps. I do have a system of buckets going with them, but sometimes the system doesn't work so well, and they seem to have a stash of plastic bags from shopping. So when I receive the scraps, I use them, of course, and then I wash the bags, which is not my favorite part. But they don't have to be that clean, because then I dry them off, and then when I need to line my bin, I use these bags to line the bin. I just give them bags a rinse, because otherwise they would stink, and make sure they're dry before I store them away. So that's taking care of my rubbish bin. And for the recycling bin, I line it because we don't have rubbish collection where we are, so we need to take it either to the tip ourselves, or I tend to give it to my parents and they put it in their bins because they do have rubbish collection where they live. So I do need a form of container to transport my scraps. So I use large plastic bags, black plastic bags, and then use them over and over and over again. However, I am considering that I should just do away with the black bags altogether, because the recycling goes in a bag which is inside a bucket. So I should just use the bucket and have a couple of buckets that I can swap out with my parents when they collect our recycling. So that's something I still need to work on. But for now, at least I'm not using a brand new plastic bag every time. I'm reusing the same plastic bags over and over until eventually they completely fall apart. Now, like I said, I have four bins in my kitchen at the moment. So one for going to landfill, one for general recycling, one is for chicken and composting, and the fourth is a new one, which has also been part of my sort of overhaul of our habits, and that has been soft plastic recycling. Now, if you have it in your area, I would highly recommend you jump on board with that one, because for me, it has been an absolute game changer. And yes, I know, ideally, you're not bringing all this plastic into your life, but for some reason, it just seems to be there all the time. It is everywhere and in everything. So in Australia here, we have a really good system for recycling soft plastics. Unfortunately, they're not collected at your house like the general recycling is. Well, not here, but in town it is. So you do need to take your soft plastics, accumulate them in your house, and then drop them off at a particular drop-off point. But there are loads and loads around town, so it's not that difficult. And it makes a huge difference. Like, now that I see how much I'm putting in my soft plastic recycling bin, I'm astounded and mortified at the fact that I haven't done it for very long at all. So that is already after I've tried to reduce the amount of plastic that comes into my house in the first place. So imagine how much was going into my landfill bin before that. So I would totally recommend it. And in general, one really good way of reducing what you send to landfill is to really understand how the recycling system works in your area. And yes, recycling should be the last thing you do. You know, you should reuse and refuse first, in fact, refuse first and reuse second, and only then you should be recycling. But that is still recycling properly is still a good skill to have, and is still far preferable than sending things to landfill. So, and that's a fairly easy thing to do. So make sure you're on top of how recycling works in your area, and take full advantage of the service. Another thing that I have been doing has been trying to reuse some of the plastic containers that come into my home. And so I have found, for example, one thing that I could never find a use for, and even now the amount of containers that come in and the amount I can reuse is not quite even at all. But those plastic containers that with holes that fruit and veg come in. Now, we do try to grow a lot of our own, and we do try to shop at farmers markets or other outlets that don't package in plastic. But there's always a time when you kind of forgot, or you just need something quickly or whatever. And so these little pesky, I think they're called shells, kind of find their way into our home quite regularly in spite of our best efforts. And while they're great for keeping your fruit and veg from getting squashed, they've got holes so the fruit and veg can breathe. But it's really annoying because then you can't really reuse them for a lot of things. You can't put nuts in them because the weevils will get in. You can't put anything liquid, of course, because it will seep out. So I still find it really tricky to find a way of reusing these. I mean, the obvious thing is to use them for growing seedlings, but of course, being plastic, that will last you multiple seasons. And if you keep accumulating them, you just have a disparity there. So they can be recycled. So I send some to recycling. But more recently, I have found that I actually use them for storing things like kids' craft items or my jewelry. Not very stylish, I'll give you that, but it works. You know, just whatever, if I need, you know, drawer dividers, I can just use those. It doesn't matter if they have holes. They're clear, so you can see inside them, see what's in there. You can even cut off the lid and just use them as a tray. So that is one way I've been able to reuse them. Still doesn't quite solve the problem, but it makes me feel a little better. So that has been another idea that you might be able to implement. Or like I said, if you have a better idea for these shells, please let me know, because they just always seem to be around, no matter what we do. And then there's food storage. There are containers to put your lunch for the kids going to school. Now the schools have reopened in our area. There is cling wrap, like film, plastic film, or alfoil. Now, I haven't been using alfoil and cling wrap for many years. I still have two rolls that are sitting in the back of my cupboard, and I'm just keeping them because I don't know what else to do with them, but literally I haven't been using them for years. So the alfoil I have substituted for silicone mats when I'm baking, and those work really, really well. The cling wrap, I was never a big user of them. The only time I was really using it was when I was baking bread, which I do quite regularly, and I had to let the dough rise and I was covering it with alfoil. I have, again, some silicone lids that I use, and they work really well. Or otherwise, just putting a plate on top of your bowl where your dough is works even better. So that's super easy, low waste, low cost, and very effective still. I have tried the beeswax wraps that everybody's raving about. It for what I use them for is really not worth it. I just seem to only wrap avocados in them, and we don't eat a huge amount of avocados, although they do a fantastic job. The ones I have, I made myself. It was kind of fun with the kids, so that's definitely a fun craft to do. I just used fabric scraps that I had, and I do have the oils and the wax anyway because I use them for my soap and creams business. And yeah, it's heaps of fun to make. And occasionally my kids will ask me to wrap their lunch in those for school because it looks cool, but really usually they take their lunches in reusable containers, so that's kind of pointless wrapping them one more time. And so I have a few that I've made, but I haven't found them particularly useful for what I normally need plastic, would otherwise need plastic for. So that's that. And then there's water bottles, of course, and the various containers, and I just have heaps already. They're all made of plastic, but you know, the most eco-friendly thing you can use is what's already in your possession or already in circulation. So I have actually gone out and bought a few extra ones, and I went to the op shop and they have heaps of plastic containers there. So I bought them there, and I felt that that was a better option than buying even a metal one that was new. I thought a reused one, a secondhand one, even if it was plastic, was a better option. So I'm happy with that. And yeah, so I'm happy with my containers. And again, same for water bottles. If we need to buy a new water bottle, we probably go for metal. We do have a few metal ones, but they do get a bit cumbersome for the kids, especially my little one. They're really heavy when they're full. So we just treasure the ones we have. We take good care of them, and hopefully they will last until the kids are strong enough to carry metal ones. And that actually brings me to another point. I have taken a good look at my handbag that I take with me when I go out. And granted, we're not going out very much at all still, but you know, I have been out a little bit. And so I have filled my handbag with a number of items that help me be more zero waste and eco-friendly when I'm out. So for years, I've been carrying my own water bottle because it's silly to buy a plastic bottle, but it's also really expensive. You know, you buy a water bottle for $3, $3.50, and it's like 500 mils, and you can just carry it for free. And I normally refill it in the bathrooms, and it works quite well. So that was a habit I already had. Another thing that I've made, or that you can easily buy, is a cutlery holder. And that helps me carry my own cutlery as I go out and about, and helps save a ton of plastic cutlery that I would otherwise have to use if I get some takeaway. Now, you can make it yourself. I sew, so for me it was fun to make my own cutlery holder with some fabric scraps, and I made one for my kids' lunchbox as well. Or you can easily just use a napkin you might have lying around, or any container, or they're very easy to buy either from local makers or from a variety of shops. And that's another clever way of reducing the plastic that we use. Of course, a keep cup would be great. I don't drink coffee or tea, so that's pointless to me, so I don't have one of those. But if you do drink, that would be a great thing to carry around. I do, however, carry at least one, sometimes two plastic containers empty. So in case I have any leftovers, I can carry them home. Or sometimes you can even hand over the container, although now the pandemic, that hasn't helped much, as some places won't take it. But sometimes you can just hand over the container and say, can you please put my takeaway into this container? And they will do that for you. So that has been helpful. Now, the other thing that I've been carrying in my bag, which has been heaps of fun for me and my four-year-old when we're out and about, has been a pair of tongs and a plastic bag. And that has been heaps of fun because Audrey and I just go around spotting rubbish, collecting it. And the plastic bag I use is actually a biodegradable plastic. And so once it's finished, we just dispose of the items, some of them in the recycling, some of them in the bin or wherever, and we can use the bag over and over again. And when it's broken, we can put it in the compost. So we've been really happy with that. And I think that also does two things. I mean, the amount of rubbish we can collect is negligible as far as the environment is concerned, although every little bit counts. But for me, it's more important to raise awareness with my kids of the amount of rubbish that is there. What kind of rubbish is there? The amount of straws that we find in playgrounds. Oh my goodness. Oh, by the way, we've changed to no straws or silicone straws. Very happy with that, totally doable. So I really wanted to raise awareness in my kids of the amount of stuff that people throw out. And also, I find that while my daughter and I are crazily going around playgrounds collecting bits and pieces off the ground, other people see us, and that might also get them thinking. Maybe not. Wishful thinking? I don't know. But it can't hurt. So that's also been a fun thing that we've done. And we only done it a couple of times, and then Audrey started going, oh, mommy, look, there's some rubbish. And then occasionally I didn't have my rubbish collecting kit, and it was a little bit awkward. I didn't really want to go and pick up rubbish with her bare hands. So sometimes I've picked it up with my hands, or sometimes we just had to leave it. But it's been great that she has been really aware of them.
And my older daughter has been, you know, going out maybe with daddy and the rest of the family, and I wasn't going. And she'll go, oh, mommy, can I have some cutlery to take with me? Because we might go and have lunch. So it's been really good. And then maybe sometimes she's out and she forgets to actually use it, but that's okay. You know, it's a process. And I've been really proud of them for really understanding where I was coming from. And hopefully, if you know, all the kids of the future behave differently to what our generation has done, they will have a much cleaner world, which would be awesome. So that has been something else that I have had the time to implement during lockdown and has really helped us lower our footprint a little bit more. Another way that we've been changing our habits, it has been looking at what we buy and also where from. So I have looked into a variety of bulk stores around our area. To be honest, I was a little bit scared about some of them and I just felt a bit out of place. Of course, that was all in my head. As soon as I went, they're all very nice and very welcoming. And I showed up with my containers and it's been really great. The stuff I buy there, whether it's fresh produce or flour or nuts, it's been really good. We've been very happy with it. The prices are a little bit higher, but it is still very affordable. And in some of them, you can volunteer. We have a local food co-op where you can volunteer and then you will get a discount. And that brings the prices to a really affordable level. And a lot of the volunteering you can do can be done from home. You don't always have to have the time to be in store, which I don't. So I just write for the newsletter and I get a small discount, which is very helpful. And it gives me an incentive to shop there more and to volunteer more, which is fantastic. The other thing that they do, they take some of my plastic containers because then they need them for their deliveries. So that has been a really good way, again, of finding a home for the plastic containers that I would rather didn't enter my life, but do anyway. So have a look in your area, see if you've got any such stores, and they're really lovely, friendly communities. They're definitely worth becoming part of. The other room where we have been making some changes is the bathroom, of course. So we looked at toothbrushes, toothpaste, deodorant, shampoo, conditioner, and all of that. So like I mentioned, I make soap. I also make conditioner bars and shampoo bars. So that was all easy for us. We had made that change a while back. So if you haven't yet, I would really encourage you to find some suppliers in your local area of conditioner bars, soap bars, and shampoo bars. Your hair might need a little bit of adjusting, but really, if you find the right one, it works really well. Don't get discouraged if the first one you've tried doesn't work for you. There are lots of different types out there and you can certainly go and find one that works for you. So have a go. It's definitely worth it. And your hair will thank you for it as well as the environment. So we had those already changed over, but I'm embarrassed to say we were still using plastic toothbrushes. Yes, we were. So I decided that was no longer acceptable and I went and I bought myself my first bamboo toothbrush and I didn't like it at all, but I put up with it and I got used to it. And I think it was a really bad quality, the first one, because after that I bought some more from a different brand and they were much nicer. The issue I had with them, and that's going to sound silly, is that the bamboo part that went in my mouth wasn't as smooth as the plastic one is. And so it kind of was gripping on my cheek, on the inside of my cheek, and it was kind of annoying. But I think that was just a bad quality toothbrush, because then the ones that I'm using now are very smooth, very nice, so almost no difference to the plastic ones, apart from the fact that they will degrade and they will not be around in another 100 or 1,000 years. So that makes me feel good. And they come with cute creatures on them, because of course you have to have a way of telling them apart, because you can't use color because they're all the same color. So ours have marine creatures on them to remind you that you're putting less plastic in the ocean. And so my kids really love them as well, and we all decide which animal we get to be. I'm normally the whale and I leave the seahorses and sea turtles to my kids. And so we all brush our teeth. Daddy is still not quite come around, but he hasn't bought any more toothbrushes and I haven't bought any more plastic ones, whereas we have a plentiful supply of bamboo ones. So I'm hoping that once he needs to discard his current toothbrush, he will come on board and use one of the bamboo ones. The other change that we've made with teeth cleaning has been using tooth tablets. And it has actually been really good. I do miss the foaminess of the toothpaste, but that is kind of the bad part of it. So using tooth tablets doesn't give you that foaminess, but my teeth are clean. I feel happy. My kids were at the dentist just recently and she was impressed at how clean their teeth were. And my eldest daughter was complaining of having really sensitive teeth. And she actually says that the tooth tablets have helped. So that's great. You can choose whether you want them with or without fluoride. And there's also a mouthwash tooth tablet that you can use. So we're using both and we're happy with those. So we've made that switch. And again, Daddy is lagging behind, but we're hoping he'll join us because we're just about run out of our other supplies of regular toothpaste that we had when we started the switch. So we'll see whether he'll buy more or whether he'll join us. The other thing is deodorant, and I've been after deodorant for a while. I use a really effective mainstream deodorant that really, really works well. So unfortunately, I haven't been able to find or make. I've tried a variety of handmade ones by me and store-bought natural deodorants. I don't have anything against the deodorant, normally deodorant, but they do come in plastic containers. So the paste comes usually in a tin, which is more environmentally friendly. So I have a bit of both. I tend to have, if I'm just around the farm, I will just use the paste deodorant as more natural and comes in a tin. But if I've got a work meeting, I'm going to use the deodorant that works because I really don't want to be stinking. So in order to, you know, feel comfortable in myself, I'm sorry, but I'm still sticking to the mainstream deodorant. Although they have come a long way. I remember I tried some more eco-friendly deodorants years ago and they were terrible. They did nothing. And now the ones that I use, they work pretty well. In fact, I use them even at work in winter. I just don't trust them quite as much in the summer. So maybe it's a process of, you know, my body adjusting, me getting used to them, and maybe the formula's improving and we'll all meet together somewhere else in the future. So that has been some of the other thinking that we've done around that topic. Now, the toilet has been another place. Now, we have some friends who do away with toilet paper almost completely. My family is not going to go down that route. They're not very keen. So we use toilet paper, but I have changed to a plastic-free one. Then I found out it was made in China. And so there was this big debate on one of the Facebook groups I follow as to whether it was more environmentally friendly to have Australian made that's covered in plastic or non-plastic but made in China. Now, I have now found one that is plastic-free, made in Australia out of recycled materials. So I've ordered that and I'm hoping that that will be great because it's very expensive, but I'm giving it a try and hopefully that can be the toilet paper of our dreams. Doesn't everybody need one of those? Now, the last kind of toilet related thing that I looked into, and in fact, that was actually one of the first things that came to my mind when I thought I need to improve our habits, it was nappies. And I can tell you I have failed completely on that front. I know there are some great cloth nappies out there. 10 years ago, when our first daughter was born, I was adamant I was only going to use cloth nappies. We ended up doing probably about 60% cloth nappies with her for the first year of her life. It was pretty gross, didn't work very well. I think now there's a lot more information about it and about how to wash them. So she would get rashes and that wasn't very good because now I know, but at the time there wasn't that much information. The ammonia can accumulate in the fabric and then become really hard for the kids to wear. So my partner, who wasn't really on board with the cloth nappy business, was a bit annoyed because the cloth nappies were making the baby sore. And so we ended up doing a bit of a combination. We were doing cloth a little bit, and then we found some supposedly compostable nappies that we use for the rest of the time during the day. And then at night, we would always use some mainstream top brand nappies because as a parent, you are sleeping little enough as it is. You don't want the nappy to wake you up because the kid wakes up in a puddle. And also because we could sleep, it would have meant everybody waking up in a puddle. Not nice. So we decided to put our sleep and mental sanity before the environment on that one. Sorry. So we always used mainstream nappies at night for our first child. By the time the second one came along, we were totally overwhelmed. The cloth nappies were long gone. We had 6 years between one child and the other, and we didn't think we were going to be able to have a second one. So I had given away all the cloth nappies that we originally had, and they were really old already anyway. A lot of them were already secondhand when we got them. And I didn't even bother. We just went mainstream nappies the whole way. And unfortunately, even though she's nearly five, she is still in nappies at night. So when I started this journey more recently of trying to make our life a little bit more eco-friendly, I thought, it's okay. I can probably still put her in cloth nappies and I can find a cloth nappy now because they've come so far that I can use at night. So I went out and contacted a lady who's a cloth nappy guru here in my area, and I asked for advice because, you know, a lot of the cloth nappies only go to a certain size. So my kid is 20 kilos, so she's big. And so I needed to find a nappy for her size. And she said, yeah, no problem. You can have this particular type, but it costs a fortune. And I thought, okay. So I looked into it. And again, because I'm trying to buy secondhand as much as possible, I was able to find some nappies of the brand she suggested that were brand new but secondhand. So somebody had bought them but then only used one of them once and the other ones hadn't been used at all. So I was able to get them a bit cheaper and secondhand, so I wasn't really tapping into new resources, which I thought was great. And I was able to buy those and give those a go. Needless to say, they didn't fit her and they were a complete disaster. So I thought, fear not, I'm a sewist. Surely if I can make undies and period undies as I do make, I can make a nappy for a kid. Oh no, I can't. So I tried a couple of designs as she very patiently put on these very bulky things. And we tried sleeping with them and it was like she was wearing nothing. So I gave up. So apologies for that, absolutely no information of use on this one. That was a complete failure. Again, if you have any suggestions, please let me know. My focus is now to trying to get it to hold overnight. To be honest, it's going to be a while yet, so that we can do away with nappies altogether. We don't have any more kids coming, so that will be the end of our nappy journey. But we have totally failed the eco nappies journey there. And while we're on the topic of nappies and the like, another change I've made, and this time it was successful, was actually for myself. So I've switched to period undies and to reusable menstruation pads. So that has been really good for me. I made my own very quickly and easily with materials I already had, and they work really well. But if you don't make your own, you can very easily find a variety of them out there. People make them. You can find them made locally or more mainstream. Certainly a big change and a very easy one to make as well. There are also other devices you can investigate, like menstrual cups. I was just happy with the pads, so I went with them. So that was a change that I made, which again, embarrassingly, I hadn't made yet. And I'm happy I took the plunge. It was actually much easier and less of a problem than I thought it would be. So the last thing I wanted to mention just quickly, because I think I will do a whole episode on it, is clothes. So for some time now, I've been sewing my own clothes and my kids' clothes as much as possible using either sustainable fabrics or mostly secondhand fabrics. And I would really urge you to consider where your clothes come from and who's made them, because I'm sure you've heard the fast fashion industry is a huge burden on the planet, both in terms of the waste it creates and in terms of the ethical issues that it creates, in terms of how the people who make our clothes are treated and the condition in which they live. So I think it is really important, because we are in a position of privilege, to really consider where our clothes come from. So for me, I'm trying very hard to know that they come from either the op shop or my own hands, and the fabrics are secondhand or from a sustainable, reputable source that I'm comfortable with. And I have been making most of my kids' clothes as well. My partner really doesn't buy any clothes, so he's just using the one he has. And I've been trying to learn how to mend or find other people in my community who can help with the mending. And that brings me to the last point, and that is, you don't have to do it all. Find a community and share the burden. Certainly, a lot of these skills, like the majority of the homesteading skills, they do tend to take up more time than it takes to actually buy a ready-made item of clothing or buy a ready-made meal and so on. So doing things yourself has a huge amount of advantages, but it also has a few drawbacks, and time is certainly one of them. But you don't have to do it all. So for example, for me, I hate mending. I'm not good at it. There's a lady down the road who loves them, but doesn't have a sewing machine. So sometimes she'll give me some pants that I need to shorten for her, and she'll do my mending. Or I give her some eggs from my chickens and she'll do my mending. So you can find your community. And actually, one great thing that came out of the pandemic was that when we were all in lockdown and nobody was really comfortable going shopping in a supermarket, what we were doing in our community of country people, because a lot of people have very nice veggie patches, we were sharing produce, and we would leave it at the letterbox, and you would come and collect it without even meeting the person, and you would leave your offering. So I have done loads and loads of swaps. We do have a reasonable veggie patch, but our veggie patch is a bit hit and miss. So especially for us here in Australia, when the pandemic hit, we were coming off the back of a horrible drought and fires. So we didn't have much of a veggie patch. We had used most of our stored water to keep a lot of the trees alive. We've got a lot of fruit trees and native trees, so we prioritized those. But we were able to still get veggies from people in our community who had prioritized the veggies. So that worked really well for us. And because we produce things here that are a little bit different to our neighbors, for example, we have the goats, so we could trade some goat's milk, or we make soap and we could trade some of that. And people were happy to swap with us. We would give them some of our products and they would give us veggies. So that worked really well. So in general, I think the take-home message to try and live a little bit more sustainably is, you know, obviously, if anything has struck a chord with you in what I've been talking about, feel free to give it a go. Like I said, if you have ideas or opinions, we'll love to hear about it. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Or just really start small. Prioritize buying secondhand and prioritize, you know, connecting with your community and see what you can find that's there. And it will be a much more enjoyable way of acquiring all the items that you need for your everyday life.
Mm-hmm. And that's it for another episode of the Homesteading Roller Coaster. If you enjoyed the content, we'd love it if you subscribed. We'd also really appreciate a rating and review on your podcast platform. Or send us a message. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Tatum Hills Farm. That's T-A-T-U-M Hills Farm. Or on our website at www.tatumhillsfarm.com.au. Thank you for listening. Bye.